It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Yes, it is. And as previously mentioned, the 10 a.m. election announcement has changed some things about our election coverage. That said, my interview with James happened earlier, so there will be still a local economy focus, particularly on the New Zealand agriculture industry, which always seems to be a tough one when trying to balance our economy and our environmental stances. Thanks for bearing with us, though. It's been a hectic day of news, and I digress. Campaigning has been suspended since Wednesday, and I begin my chat with James this morning by asking what the implications of this will be for the Greens and whether he thinks it was the right decision.
Well, yes. I mean, there are still things that political parties can do, through mainstream media and through social media and so on. And we got a taste of this during the Level 4 lockdown back in March and April. So, for example, the Green Party ran a whole series of online public meetings and town halls, and that was actually quite effective. There's kind of no substitute for actually talking to people person to person.
So there have been calls from the Leader of the Opposition, Judith Collins, and Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters to delay the election. Do you agree that the election should be suspended?
Well, what we've said consistently is that the election date should move if the Prime Minister receives advice from health officials and from the Electoral Commission that would lead her to determine that it isn't viable to hold it on September the 19th. I think a lot of what you've heard from political parties calling for delay is just naked electioneering, frankly. It's sort of in their self-interests to kick it out as long as possible. And so in that sense, I disagree with them, but I do think that if the official advice comes back that it's going to be difficult to operate the election, then that's up to the Prime Minister to make that call.
Mm. So we'll move now to local economy, which is BFM's election theme. What is the Green Party's economic focus? I know last week we spoke about heavy-duty vehicles using hydrogen, but is there anything else that the Greens are focusing on?
Yeah, so we're going into this election with a sort of a long-term plan for the economic recovery post the pandemic crisis. And our basic thesis is that, what we're saying is, look, there were some pretty significant challenges that the country was facing before COVID-19 hit. Given that we've got to spend just this colossal sum of money on stimulating the economy in the short term, we should put every dollar of that stimulus to work on the long-term challenges facing the country, such as climate change, the housing crisis, the fact that the pipes under our feet are making us sick, and so on. All of these are quite big, expensive items, and so it makes sense for us to to deploy the stimulus on those things. So a couple of weeks ago, we put out our clean energy plan. And that's a plan essentially to kickstart the solar industry here in New Zealand and to, 100% renewable electricity generation sooner than we otherwise might. We've got some more stuff coming up soon in the domains of agriculture and transport and so on. So I won't give you the details of that, obviously, because it's yet to come, but those are the sort of areas that we think that there's a real opportunity for New Zealand to build on what it's already good at and do so in a way that resolves some of the long-term challenges facing the country.
Just on agriculture, a lot of the New Zealand economy does rely on farming, and it's sort of the elephant in the room when it comes to environmental change in agriculture. I mean, there's no denying the environmental effects of livestock. I mean, Stats New Zealand reports that methane from livestock digestion made up 35.3% of gross emissions in 2016. Do you think that the work that's been done by this government is enough, or would the Greens have liked to have seen more happen?
Well, I mean, I think the Green Party would always say that we should be moving further and faster than we have been able to in the past. I do think that we've made a good start, however, and it's true that under Level 4, I think New Zealand has got a much greater sense of appreciation from about where their food comes from, and that kind of understanding that actually farmers and food producers are essential businesses, because overseas holidays might be off the cards, but everyone still needs to eat. Now, you're right that ultimately, you know, you can't expand the sector much more in volume sense because you run up against the ecological limits, and of course there's just pure land supply. But you can add more value to our existing agricultural products, and we know that people will pay a premium for food that is produced in a sustainable and regenerative way. That is something that we're really keen to support farmers to make that transition. That way they get more value for the food that they produce and the land that they work on. New Zealand will be able to try and get a bit more export dollars that we've lost due to things like the shutdown of international tourism, and we need that if we're going to be able to maintain our standard of living and our essential public services. And, of course, it's a huge win for the environment, because ultimately that strategy of moving from volume to value means that you can walk back on some of those environmental consequences that you were talking about.
So during the first lockdown, there was a lot of hopeful talk about how when things open up, it was a fresh start to do things in a greener way, to turn the system on its head in a way. What is the reality of this? And do you think that the government seized the opportunity to become greener post the first lockdown?
Well, I think we've sort of pointed in a direction without necessarily going all the way, and the kinds of things that we're talking about, you know, as you mentioned earlier, is the investment in creating the network of hydrogen refueling stations for our heavy vehicle fleet. You know, we're investing in electric ferries. There's $1.3 billion going into planting of trees, restoring wetlands, getting rid of wilding pines, controlling predators, and so on. And I think, you know, if you look across the sort of array of what we've done, we've said, look, there is the opportunity right now for us to reimagine what kind of economy and what kind of society we want post-COVID. We all know that there's no going back to the status quo. That world is gone, no matter what. And so we do have an opportunity now to kind of say, well, what kind of a world do we want to be living in as we kind of come through the pandemic crisis?
Do you think situations such as what we're seeing now with the global pandemic and lockdowns and societies going through a lot of changes, do you think it can create change for good? Or do you think as the world teeters on the brink of another depression that people will be so focused on surviving and making enough money that it can actually do the opposite for greener opportunities?
Well, I think that is a very real risk. But actually, there have been a number of surveys conducted of the general population, but also of chief executives of some of our largest companies. And a substantial majority of both the general population and the chief execs of in the business community are all saying, no, we actually do want to have a green recovery. And that now is not the time to sort of retrench and take your eye off the ball for things like climate change and inequality. And actually they are all saying now is exactly the time that we should be investing in resolving those twin crises, which were products of the status quo. And so I'm very encouraged by that, because it suggests that there is a real appetite that we can build back better.
Now, if New Zealand is to become more green, what sort of local businesses would the Greens like to see invested in?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we have been saying for some time is that there are some industries that are incredibly employment rich. Those include things like installing solar panels. That's a real job creator. Home insulation, you know, those kinds of things that make our homes warmer and drier, more self-sufficient in terms of energy and water, are all areas where you've got a real kind of high level of jobs created per dollar spent. And so I think now is a great time to be investing in those things. And generally, those are also kind of not always done by large companies. Those sort of programs often have a huge effect on small business as well.
So New Zealand's debt was very low going into lockdown, and that seems to be why the government was able to do bailouts for local businesses. And it seems for the first time, really, businesses prefer a Labor-led government. But how long can these bailouts realistically last, especially if we're going to potentially see years of COVID-19 and varying degrees of severity?
Well, I mean, this is exactly why the Finance Minister, Grant Robertson, said, you know, we were holding back about $14 billion of the $50 billion COVID response and recovery fund, because if there are more outbreaks, then we will need to, you know, be able to support businesses with things like the wage subsidy again. And in fact, that is exactly, of course, what has happened. And what he said is that he's going to be extending the wage subsidy for businesses in Auckland just whilst we get through this current outbreak. Now, when we first went into lockdown, of course, you know, we didn't know the extent of community transmission. We didn't necessarily have all the systems and processes set up around the country to kind of manage things. Now we're in a much better situation where when you've got an outbreak like the one that we've currently got, you don't need to shut down the entire country and send everybody into level four. You can sort of manage it with, you know, most of the country at level two, Auckland at level three, and, you know, some pretty sophisticated systems for kind of managing the extent of transmission. And what that means is that the cost to the Crown of extending wage subsidies will be less in the future than it has been in the past, because you're not, you know, because the extent of the lockdown isn't nearly as great.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.